Who dat?
Aww.
Lose dat. Nordy Sportscast.
You're listening to Nordy's podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Fuck the Saints.
Yeah, I'm happy the Saints lost. I'm really happy the Saints lost. I can't stand them. I can't stand Sean Payton. I don't even really like Drew Brees. It might not be fair to him.
No, he's all right.
He hasn't done anything wrong to me, but yeah, I don't know. I'm really happy the Saints lost.
It's mostly like Sean Payton that I just can't stand. Honestly, I like the city. I have no problem with it. If they got a different coach, I might not have the same issues.
Yeah, here's my thing. I think that they started the season on my bad side because last year, you know, it dates all the way back to 2009 with Bounty Gate.
Yep.
And then
that's really like where the most of the hatred lies.
Then we had the Minneapolis Miracle against them last year. But right before it, Sean Payton got 10 years of bad coaching luck by doing the skull chant to the fans, the Vikings fans, which was
when he thought for sure, and everyone thought that the game was over. So really bad form at that time.
Yeah, it was. He was just being an asshole, and ever since then, bad things have happened to the Saints in big moments in the playoffs. And then you had Alvin Kamara, who was asked at the beginning of the year about the Vikings and Minnesota after the Minneapolis Miracle last year, and he just said, "Fuck Minnesota." So. I guess I've just been really cheering against the Saints this year.
So we should say fuck the Saints, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really happy to see them lose. Cool. And currently where we're at in the Patriots-Chiefs game, it's in overtime, it's 31-all. So
12 minutes left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with you, but it looks like the Patriots are going to win the game at this point. But yeah, how are you guys doing? It's been a good week for us. Good week in sports. Had a great screencast.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, screencast was awesome. Go check that out.
Had a great screencast, so check that out this week as well. We'd love to have you guys listen to all of our episodes. Hopefully, you guys are entertained by the same things that we are. And also, it's a great time to ask you guys, the listeners, to give us a follow on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at Nordeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts from. Get the Nordeast Podcast directly to your phone every single week. It's 2019. That's the best part about podcasting. You can get it to your phone every week. You don't even have to remember. It just happens. Downloads it, and it gives you a reminder and everything. Also, we have a special beer from one of our favorite places, 2017's Nordy Beer of the Year, Brewery of the Year.
Yeah.
Nice what are we drinking? You get your numbers right, too.
It's a deep cut.
What are we drinking, guys?
So this is Shook, man. This is a Shook series. What do they have, like six of these, you guys think?
Something
about
like that? Yeah.
They do them about every other month or every 3 months. This one is a double vanilla, which I was pretty intrigued by and excited to try. This is a series of beers where they're always like dry hopped and big IPAs, fruited. This, in this case, vanillaed, so not fruited, but flavored in some way. And they go huge, right? So like pretty high alcohol, huge flavors, not worried about balance. Just throw it all at the fucking wall, make a big silly beer. You buy them by the individual can for $5. Which kind of sucks, but it's actually not the worst way to do it. I actually prefer that to a $20 four pack because I can get two of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And while he was saying this, the Patriots just won in overtime.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to it later, but just in live time, Patriots just won to go to the Super Bowl.
So we have our matchup.
Great. That's so great. It's so shocking. The Patriots are in the Super Bowl for like the fucking 10th time. Good work, NFL.
Yeah. So anyways, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of this beer? Vanilla in the beer? Is it your most favorite Shook, least favorite Shook? What do you guys think?
I think it falls somewhere in the middle. It's not my least favorite, but it's definitely not my most favorite. I think this is, like you said, everything. The kitchen sink was flavored with vanilla. They put that in here. Like their shoes were flavored with vanilla. All of that went into this beer. I think it's, you know, I know it's not sugary, but it tastes a little too sweet for what I like.
Well, it's milk sugar, you know.
No, I know. I'm trying to say the flavor profile is a little bit sweeter than what I would normally prefer for a double IPA, which is what they're calling it. So I'm okay with it, but it's not something I think I would ever need another one of.
Right. And that's part of it too. You get the one can and you share it with somebody and you're good.
Yeah, you move on. I think they are selling four packs of this one too.
I know they seem to have made a lot.
I saw the four packs. They were like $18.99 or $17.99. So they're pretty expensive. You
save a couple bucks.
You save like a dollar or two. I think this is good, like all the Shooks. So yeah. I'm not ripping this Shook one bit. I think they make incredible beers. The series is really fun. I'm going to rank it 4th out of 5 on Shooks.
Okay. And you know them and you can list them?
Yeah, I'm going...
I'd be very impressed
if you could pull this up. Peach on number one.
Okay.
I'm going pineapple number two.
Love that
one. I'm going
one.
Mango number three. I'm going double vanilla number four. I'm going strawberry number five.
Wow. Dude, Eric, that was fucking impressive.
That's a pretty good list.
Yeah, and actually, I tend to agree with...
I would flip-flop the pineapple... that was my favorite,
but and the beach.
Everything else is pretty spot on.
Yeah,
I mean, think that's good. But and you could talk me into anything else in the top three.
And for one of them, for $5, it's still worth it, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah, real, real good. Enjoying this one. If you see it, go grab a can for yourself.
It's fun. To me, it, like when I smell it and then I drink it, it almost gives me like a maple syrup flavor a little bit for some reason, but... I like it. I like the flavors of it.
Might have been that Domino's, but...
the Domino's pizza.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to our sportscast, and the best place to start is the NFL playoffs. And we need to talk about conference championship week. I would say that this is, in my memory, with the understanding that there's definitely recency bias, this may have been the best day of football that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, up there, you know, huge games... I would rather take, you know, two exciting games over one. So, like, this day is kind of more fun than the Super Bowl.
I think this is a much better day than the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is like, and now the Black Eyed Peas are going to perform between quarters. And you're like, why? Like, just too much of that. Like, there's just too many, like, things and events and, like, people being trotted out. It's like a circus. And
well, and they're like, there's a 3-second break. We got a 3-second commercial for you. Yeah, we're going to cut away, you know? So... it's not a 3-ring circus. It's a 22-ring circus. I mean, it's an absolute gargantuan event where football is played in the background.
Yeah. All right. I agree.
Yeah. So,
This is a lot about like the games because these games really matter. There's a big microscope on a lot of things that happen. Oh, poor Sean Payton called it go your way. Mm-hmm. So he was crying after the game, which makes sense. I mean, he's right. But
it was a bad, horrible. It was a no call but yeah. Yes.
These matchups are generally a lot closer than the Super Bowls tend to be. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, and definitely this was a great week. So it started out.
What time did the game start? Like 2:45?
Yeah, 2 something.
And we're finishing up at like 9:15.
Yeah. So, first game is a rematch from a few weeks ago where the Los Angeles Rams went and visited the New Orleans Saints. A few weeks back, I believe the Saints won by 10 points in a pretty exciting game. This one was an absolute battle from the very beginning. Battle of field position in the first quarter where the Saints kept getting the ball in great positions, including one time they got the ball inside the 20. And they were only able to manage 2 field goals and a touchdown from their great field position to go up 13-0. The second quarter was all Rams, where they came storming back. They scored a late touchdown in the last 2 minutes to make it 13-10. They held the Saints to just 13 yards on their last 10 plays of the half. So really started to dominate the game physically. They got the ball to start the second half, went 3-and-out, and the Saints went right down and scored to go up by 10 again, 20 to 10. And then it was kind of them chipping away, getting themselves back into the game. Goff made a ton of big passes. And they finally get the ball down to about the 1-inch line inside the final minute of the game, right?
Who?
The Rams.
Yeah.
They got it down to like the 1-inch line.
Yep.
On 4th down, they decided to take the field goal and kick the field goal to tie it up at 20. And then it went into overtime where Drew Brees threw a pick. Hopefully it's his last pass ever. And
oh, you think he's going to retire?
I sure hope he won't. I wish he would.
He won't.
He was really fucking good this year.
And then he throws a pick and then Greg Zuerlein hits another big field goal. Actually, I'm sorry. We missed one.
You missed the game tying field goal from 50 Yeah. No. That was the game winner from 57.
So I'm sorry. They
game tying from 48. Like 48. Yeah.
So they kicked the field goal to tie at 20-20. Then the Saints went right down and got a field goal. And then they went down late and got a field goal from 48 yards to send it into overtime. Breeze threw a pick, and then he hit a 57-yarder to send them to the Super Bowl. A bomb that would have been good from about 80.
I think
he literally killed that thing.
Yeah, I think the projection was that it was good from 68.
That's crazy.
And it was right down the middle. I mean, he absolutely hammered that thing down the middle.
That's why they try to play a lot of these games indoors.
Now, the big moment of the game came in the last 2 minutes where the Saints had the ball in the red zone. It was 3rd down and 10. They'd made a stupid decision to throw a pass on 1st down, which kind of saved time for the Rams. The Rams called their 2nd timeout on the next play on a run play. And then on 3rd down, they threw a pass, like a wheel route, and the cornerback from the Rams ran right through the Saints player. And it should have been pass interference.
Not only did he run right through him, he put the crown of his helmet into the crown of the other guy's helmet, which is an automatic 15-yard penalty. That should be a penalty
no matter when that happens.
So he committed 2 fouls in the span of like a half a second, and neither one of them were called.
Yeah.
Refs let the guys play. It's like the NBA strategy of like, oh, we can't call up any penalty in the last 15 seconds of a game. We got to let the guys play.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, that's great.
That was horrible. I'd be pissed. I mean, it seems like the Saints fans are kind of beside themselves over this, and they only are focused on the call, not the opportunities they had throughout the game. Calls that they got away with some dirty ass shit. I mean, they were stomping people's heads. They were like late hits, just weird ass shit like that that wasn't called. But of course, what are you going to focus on?
Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking blatant, but
it was bad. Yeah.
A lot of things they could have done better.
Sure. They had opportunities to capitalize and put the Rams in the ground, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the story of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so honestly, in the big moment, 32-year-old Sean McVay and like 23 or 24-year-old Jared Goff came up big, and it was great. To me, it was like the passing of the torch in the NFC where Drew Brees, you know, probably the longtime king of the NFC, he's almost 40 years old. And Jared Goff, the young gun, got him on the road in the playoffs. And that's the kind of thing that I think the NFL needs. It's been great. The last generation of quarterbacks, Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger, Brees,
Rivers,
Eli Manning have been there and have been great quarterbacks for a long time. And now some of them are gone. Some of them are washed up. Some of them can't stay healthy. And the
some
great
of them
ones,
are Eli Manning.
Yeah, and like, but like also, I mean, you know, Brady obviously still good, getting a win as well. But it looks like a passing of the torch to this new generation of quarterbacks. Maybe Carson Wentz.
You say that, and it just makes me laugh about the Minnesota Vikings because, of course, the Minnesota team, like where we like to draft, like right in the middle of the road. Do we have one of the young guns? No. Do we have one of the old established guys? No. We got a middle of the road guy. Yeah. He's the 13th best QB in the league. And
that's where we live, man.
That's where we live,
bread and
man.
Butter.
We'd love that. Anyway,
we can do that for another 25 years.
Yeah. No. But you also have to realize this, though. The Vikings, you said we like
to
draft in the middle.
You don't need to defend Cousins. I'm just making a joke.
No, I'm not. The Vikings have been one of the better teams in the NFL for the last decade. I mean, consistently,
despite the fact that we've had like 32 starting quarterbacks since Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, it shows you that they are well run, even though they've never been able to solve the quarterback problem.
Quarterback, kicker, receiver, tight end, O-line problem. But other than that, we got it all nailed.
But no, I think really, there's two of them that you mentioned, quarterback and kicker, realistically. We've had good O-lines. We've had good receivers. We've had good tight ends. We've had good defenses. We have struggled to find good quarterback play and struggled to find good kickers in recent years. And, you know,
we literally talked ourselves into Christian Ponder was our best option.
Yeah.
God.
That's where we were at.
Those
were
dark times. Dark, dark times.
And we were a decent team then, even.
We were like, guys.
We were like a quality, like, team at that point in time.
We were like, guys, it's okay that Teddy only threw for 150 yards. There weren't opportunities for him to throw for more.
We got Adrian Peterson. We want to run the ball for
him. Yeah, we're a running team. Yeah. Like, Teddy could throw for more if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. He wants to spread the wealth to other players. Like, we were talking ourselves in all kinds of bullshit.
We're so those people, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't come here for, like, you know, honest, objective stuff.
Like, rational takes? No.
In the other game, the Patriots went to the Chiefs, and it looked like the same old Chiefs. At halftime, Patriots were up 14-0. The Chiefs came storming back and eventually took the lead in the fourth quarter. There were multiple lead changes. The Patriots took a lead late. The Chiefs came right back down, took the lead again, giving the ball in the final 2 minutes.
It was 0 at halftime, and they put up 31 points in the half?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then
I wish they'd won.
They gave the ball to Tom Brady in the last 2 minutes, and Tom Brady did exactly what you would imagine he would do in the final 2 minutes.
Get penalties his way and then extend his drives.
Went right down and took the lead. The Chiefs got the ball. They marched right down the field, kicked a field goal to tie it up, went to overtime. And NFL's great overtime rules where only one team gets the ball if they score.
So fucking dumb, man.
Mm-hmm. It's so dumb.
I get so frustrated with that because they're like, well, if you score a touchdown, then it's over. Well, why does the other team's offense not get to touch the ball when you're off? It never leaves it to
a coin toss on who is the favorite to win the game. Then. And that's just, it takes it out of the player's
especially
hands.
In this era where all of the rules are geared towards offensive success. Mm-hmm. So you have to just guess right in a 50-50 coin flipping.
Right.
Really, to have the best chance.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
They make it seem like it's a 50-50 chance on how well this game is going to turn out. No, it's more like if you lose, you have like a 90% chance of losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it should come down to the first team scores a touchdown. If they score on their first drive, the other team gets a chance to score a touchdown, and they can either kick a field goal to continue overtime or go for two to win it.
You mean kick an extra point?
Oh yeah, kick an extra point to prolong the overtime, or they can go for two, which they would every time, and they could go for two and win the game.
Or
right there.
You can just say there's no kicking an extra point in overtime. Everyone's going for two if you score a touchdown.
That's exciting,
and that's like the college rule. Like after like the third overtime, they're just like no more extra points. You have to go for two. So let's just make it overtime. Everyone gets the ball. You have to go for two, and whoever wins wins. Right? Great. Perfect.
I love that.
There's no problems with that.
Yeah.
So we will break down the Super Bowl in great length in the next 2 weeks. So we won't really go into that right now.
That'll be next week's sportscast.
But as of right now, where are you guys on the Rams and the Patriots?
Well, I just have to think the Patriots will win. They always fucking win.
So
I didn't think they were going to beat the Chiefs, and they did, and here they go.
Nobody thought they were going to beat the Chargers. That was Eric's pick. Mm-hmm. They weren't favored playing the Chiefs. You know, it's in Arrowhead. It's going to be cold.
Patrick it's so Mahomes, loud there. Best home crowd ever, whatever.
Which definitely mattered, but the coaching and quality players matters more, turns out. They're probably going to be slight underdogs, I would guess, against this, like, high, quote-unquote, high-powered Rams offense.
I am
on the same side as you. I won't be betting against the Patriots for any reason. But I hope the Rams win.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely be cheering for the Rams.
Yep.
Eric, what's your take, man?
I'm looking up the Super Bowl line as we speak right now.
It's already out there?
Oh, for sure it will. let's see.
They had all the lines ready to go. It's just like when the matchup ended, then they published
it. So let's all guess before we look at it. Who do you guys think wins the Super Bowl? There's no like 3 points for a home team or road team.
No,
so.
I say Rams two and a half. Rams by 2.5.
Is that what... I'm going to say Patriots by 2.5.
I'm going to say Patriots by 1.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It's going to take me a minute to look at it, but...
Well, what do you think then while you're looking it up? Like,
I think that...
Who do you think is going to win?
I think that the Patriots are going to win the game. Okay, here it is. The early lines. If it's Patriots-Rams, it's the Rams by 1.5 points.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know. I think the Rams are a better team, and I think the Patriots are a better coach team, and I think it's like the new Belichick versus the real Belichick, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great matchup. It's Tom Brady versus Jared Goff. Jared Goff probably is the closest young guy to Tom Brady that there is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's an old style quarterback. He's a tree trunk, right? He just kind of stands back there and hucks the ball all over the field, as opposed to like the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilsons. I mean, he's a little bit older, but like the neo, like the Watson, new offense of like moving around, being completely mobile, extending plays with your legs, but also being able to throw the ball. Goff is just straight, like drop back, throw the ball.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
He's a Kirk Cousins.
Super Bowl set. It's two cities that desperately need a title, L.A. and Boston. Two places that just never win titles or anything like that. So,
and like L.A., who just recently got the team.
Yeah, great.
Dude, I did see a pretty funny video. It was like live of that 57-yard field goal going through, and they were in a bar, and like the crowd was like golf clapped. It was like... Top comment was, they celebrated with avocado toast. I loved it. It's like, wow, they really have no fans. Like, no one gives a fuck about this team, and it's too bad.
They're like, what game are they playing?
Yeah.
Football. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Mm. I like the name. Feels very retro.
This is cool. Yeah. Do they sell gear? Do they sell, like, shirts?
Like tight striped shirt.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
So is there
the L.A. crowd.
Are there any storylines you're really excited about in the next 2 weeks?
Well, I knew a guy who saw a guy who had lunch with Sean McVay, so I have an interview for the offensive coordinator for the for the Browns.
You're in, baby.
No, I think the Sean McVay storyline is cool. It's being overplayed quite a bit that he's, like, this – you know, genius
his
coach.
Like age is being overplayed so much. Like, I get it, he's young.
He's 32. Well, I know.
And that's a funny thing. He's like, I'm 32. So stop comparing, stop talking about how old he is and how much more he's accomplished than me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah. And I think the young nature of the Rams versus like some of the old guard of the Patriots is kind of a cool storyline. I think the Rams going out and buying a bunch of players and trading for a bunch of guys in the offseason, taking some salary cap, you know, financial hits to the team to be competitive versus the Patriots, who are always like frugal. Like, they don't have an O lineman that's making more than like $500,000 or something this year. Like, they're all like seventh round picks and fifth round picks versus the Rams, who are like, you know, they got all the kinds of like expensive free agents. Expensive,
well, it's like the Rams have expensive starters and the Patriots have expensive backups.
Yeah.
Is what it, no, I'm serious.
That's
though.
True.
That's what it is. The Patriots are like, we need 53 guys who are good. And the Rams are like, we need 22 guys who are good.
Oh, okay.
And the approaches both have worked to get them to the Super Bowl. And it will be interesting to see, you know, who is the deeper, better, more skilled, more star-studded team when
it's interesting because we talked about the Rams peaking a little bit early and they had sort of a swoon in about week 12 where they looked very beatable. They didn't look like they did the first like 8 weeks of the season, and then they sort of like regroup, they sort of put things back together again. They obviously, you know, came out and beat the Saints when they, you know, their backs were against the wall a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what team sort of comes out of the gate against the Patriots. Do they look overmatched? Do they look overwhelmed? Do they look like they've never been there before? They do have some veterans, so it's possible that, you know, those guys may be able to help bring some of the young guys along. But how will Goff respond when he gets kind of punched in the mouth the first time, when he throws that first pick that maybe gets returned to like their own 20-yard line, Patriots score? All of a sudden they're down 10 early. Does he panic? I think a lot of these storylines are very cool and unique and interesting. And it's where Tom Brady was a long time ago when they were playing the Kurt Warner, you know, Rams, and they were underdogs and were never expected to win. And it, the greatest show on turf was going to run right over the Patriots and their stupid rookie quarterback. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So I think it'll be like
full
circle.
Time is a flat circle.
Exactly. Tying right into the screencast.
Check out our screencast.
Really time is a flat circle. I think I think that'll be a cool little wrinkle.
That's nice.
Long-winded diatribe.
I'm really excited about a couple of them. You know, did Sean McVay have a man crush on Bill Belichick at some point? It'll be something like that. And, oh, but Bill Belichick also really respects Sean McVay. How about this one? Tom Brady, old quarterback, dating a famous model.
Got to talk about it.
Jared Goff, young quarterback, dating an up-and-coming model.
Is he?
Yeah, big story right there.
Okay.
That's a big story.
That's the type of stuff that I get into.
So I want Giselle V. Goff's GF.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to see. Like, whose Giselle, Instagram is better?
To me, very overrated.
Yeah.
Like,
Tom Brady?
She's a bit of a horse.
Overrated. I mean, compared to what, though?
Compared to other beautiful models. I don't know. I mean, obviously, she walked in this room, I would be like stunned. I would fall over dead, like most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But I'm comparing her to the other amazing people out in the world that I see all every day.
Radichkowski or she's a little overdue. Giselle.
Yeah, I'll take Radichkowski.
Mm.
She's at least younger.
So anyway, Eric's gonna slam his head through the wall if you say something like that again.
We know how he stands on this one. Yes.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Vikings. All right, so the Vikings made a big move. The Vikings made a big move this week, and that was to bring in a very experienced coach to their staff. It's still yet to be seen what exactly he'll be. My guess is he's going to be the run game coordinator of the Vikings, would be my guess. And that's Gary Kubiak, former offensive coordinator of the Texans, former head coach of the Texans, former head coach of the Broncos. And he is known for one thing and one thing only, and that's being
killing Nazis. Oh, wrong movie. Sorry.
He's known for being the master of the zone run scheme.
Yeah.
And so he was.
It means you don't actually have to block anybody. You just have to like block a gap.
Yep. That sounds amazing because we can't block
anybody. We can't do anything like that.
And so he was famous for taking kind of like lesser known running backs and turning them into stars. So a few of them you could name. Terrell Davis is one of the big ones. He was the offensive coordinator for the Broncos when they won the Super Bowl with John Elway, and his zone blocking scheme made many a guy superstars. If you remember, there were some other ones. I believe, I can't think of their name.
Are you talking about for the Broncos or for the
Broncos?
Texans?
For the Broncos. Gray, I think, was one of his last.
Who was the guy from Miami?
Frank Gore.
Nope.
Oh, Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis.
Yeah, but he was like a first-round pick.
But he turned him into a like fringe 3, 4, 5 touchdown guy into 20 touchdown rushing guy.
So. Yeah, and then there was another one. Gray was one of them, and then Mike Anderson. I think
they had like 9 of them.
And it was Terrell Davis.
It was a plug and play offense. It didn't matter who their running back was. As long as this scheme was in place with that O-line, they were rushing for 1,000 yards.
So he was known for that. That got him a job in Houston with the Texans. He ended up being their head coach. In the time he was running the offense in Houston, they had Arian Foster, who was an unknown, who he turned into the all-time leading rusher for the Texans and a perennial like all-pro candidate, Pro Bowl player. And then he went back to the Broncos and had CJ Anderson, who is playing for the Rams right now.
Making a big name for himself again all of a sudden.
Yeah, and it's just like he's kind of like
a little fat guy, huh?
Yeah, and it's interesting. His blocking scheme kind of makes guys into star running backs. And so the hope is that he can come in and help Stefanski and probably really work extensively with the O-line coach and the running backs and Stefanski.
Is Stefanski a little worried that he might just get like not get kind of surpassed by this guy? This is a big name.
Jim, when you drive...
I've heard of him, it's a big name.
When you drive your car down the road, do you feel more secure or less secure with insurance?
Okay. I see where you're going with that.
I honestly think that it is a backup plan, right? And saying, yeah, hey, Kevin, it's yours. Don't fuck up. I mean, I really think that's a good... It's sort of like bringing in competition for the wide receiver spot or for the running back spot and saying, hey, I thought I was your starter last year. You know, when we ended the year, I was your starter. What happened? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you're still the starter, but you got to prove yourself continually week after week. And if you don't, then there's someone waiting in the wings right behind you in case you don't. Okay. So I think that's where they're at.
And also, I think...
Obviously, our offense needs all the help it can get. This is, to me, I was excited about it.
Well, I'm like, dude, our offense wasn't horrible last year. It was just... We literally could not protect Cousins. And we wanted to all rip Cousins as Minnesotans. We wanted him to be bad so that we could be mad about it and say that we spent the money. We spent all of our money in a bad way, you know. Like
that I earned working at Cargill.
Yeah, like that's, no, that's
ain't your money, bitch.
Minnesotans want to treat it like it's their money paying Kirk Cousins as a guaranteed contract. But, you know, we have. If you want to see if Cousins can actually succeed and if we really want to give him a chance to be our quarterback, we can't let him be pressured more than any quarterback in the league.
Okay.
Is it also sad that when you think about Cousins in watching championship weekend, you think he can't make those throws?
Is that what you were
thinking?
That
Tom throws, that Mahomes was making.
He'll never be Mahomes. He'll never be Brady.
That Goff was making.
He's probably never Goff. And
so, yeah.
So where are we? He's not Breeze.
He's not Breeze.
Yeah.
No, but again, like, how many teams have those guys? You know,
I mean, the winning ones,
the winning ones, the very best ones. And for us to say like, hey, we're not going to be able to draft a guy. So we're going to have to pick a guy up in free agency. Let's pick up Drew Brees in free agency. Like, it just doesn't exist. Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen.
I understand.
Hey guys,
I know what you're saying.
Next year, let's just trade for Mahomes. Like, you can't do that. So you have to get him in the draft, or you have to be the luckiest person ever and develop Drew Brees after he leaves a team and has shoulder surgery. And so, you know, this is going to give us the best chance. Hopefully we invest in that O-line in the draft and in free agency, and we rebuild it, and we keep Cousins vertical, and we still have those threats on the outside, and we have a healthy Dalvin Cook, and we have a Mike Zimmer defense, and we are a team that's playing in this weekend a year from now.
I like that.
Yeah, especially because we were supposed to be there this year, right? This was supposed to be the year of we're going to cruise to the NFC Championship. It's just a matter of who we're going
to
play.
Do we win the big game this time and go to the Super Bowl? Yeah, well, no.
No. So,
but I'm enjoying the playoffs, you guys. I didn't think I was going to watch it at all. I was going to be like, I'm checked out then.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
No, it's more fun. It's a lot of fun. Without the stress of your team being in it. So,
well, and it's stressful.
I mean, obviously, I'd prefer.
It's stressful even when your teams aren't in it. Like, you're still thinking, like, oh, my God, so many stakes.
It's the biggest show on earth. It's crazy.
All right, guys. Time to move on from the NFL, even though it's really exciting. We're going to move on to talking about another sport, and we're going to talk about the Minnesota Wild and a couple of big moves that they made. Mm-hmm. You know, they may seem insignificant in this moment, but first off, the Minnesota Wild send Justin Kloos, former Minnesota Golden Gopher, and one of our better players in the minors right now, probably never going to be a superstar. But a small contract and a guy who should be, third or fourth line player in the NFL or NHL, they get Pontus Aberg from the rebuilding Anaheim Ducks.
Okay,
and he is a guy who has underperformed this year. He's 25 years old. He's Swedish, and he hasn't had a big year so far. He has some potential. He's been a little disappointing so far this year, and he has a bit of a contract. Nothing too huge. And what's really really interesting about this is that when we had the draft pick for Brent Burns, if you guys remember Brent Burns.
Of course.
We sent Brent Burns and a draft pick to the San Jose Sharks. And the Sharks gave us Charlie Coyle.
Yep.
Zach Phillips, who never made it, who was supposed to be a big first-round guy, and someone else who never made it. It turned out to be a terrible trade. The draft pick that the Wild sent ended up getting traded, and it became Pontus Aberg, and now he's with the Wild anyways.
Full circle.
Dude, the flat circle comes back again.
Can we just do another screencast?
And then the other big trade, the bigger trade this week, Nino Niederreiter, after signing a massive deal and looking like a big-time cornerstone for the Wild, has been terrible so far this year. He gets sent off to Carolina for Victor Rask, another 25-year-old Swede. He's a center, a position we need a little bit more, and he has been absolutely awful this year. He has one goal so far.
Okay.
Nino?
No, Victor Rask.
Oh, Rask, yeah.
He did have an assist in his first game here.
And I think he was a Paul Fenton guy. Like, didn't he get drafted by Fenton in Nashville and then eventually got sent over to Carolina?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, he had a couple years where he was really good. He got a big contract, not quite as long or as lucrative as Nino, so it saves us a little bit of money. But as the GMs even said in the trade, and hockey is great because moves in hockey are talked about in real honesty instead of like, yep, this is the guy we wanted. He's the number one player we want. If we could have anyone in the league, it'd be this guy.
Right.
You know, it's like that kind of shit is happening in all these other sports. In hockey, they're like, yeah, this guy's really been struggling, and we just think he needs a change of scenery. You know, it's like,
which is absolutely the truth, right?
It is, and it was the kind of trade that I wish happened more in sports, where guys have potential and they've shown it before, and they both.
Andrew Wiggins, sorry,
exactly.
I had something in my throat.
No, it's those kind of things where you can imagine this player being successful, but it probably needs to be somewhere else, and.
But you're right. In other sports, they're like, no. We're going to hang on to this guy.
We got to hang on to this guy.
Don't worry.
He could be good someday, and we're not going to let it be somewhere else.
Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah, and it's just like sometimes you got to move those guys, and guess what? You need to take back an equal piece, where it's another guy who is just like not performing that well but needs to try somewhere else. And sometimes I think just kicking the tires on some of those guys and swapping spots is helpful. So, hey, Nino was a good player while he was here. Hopefully he has success there, and hopefully Rask is even better.
Well, you look at, I mean, Devin Dubnyk is the perfect example, right? Bounced around Edmonton, Phoenix, never really worked out. All of a sudden they trade for him because every goaltender that we've ever had on the roster for the Wild is hurt. They're calling people from high school leagues to come play. And then they bring in Dubnyk, and he has a monster season. We get into the playoffs. You know, Mike Yeo was going to be fired. This whole team was going to be blown up. And then we make the playoffs. It's like this great story. And yeah. then it fizzled out. But all he needed was like a different chat with a different goaltender coach. And all of a sudden he was fantastic.
Had some new confidence, whatever it is. Right. Yeah.
And you sort of build on that momentum, and then away you go. And I think too many coaches and GMs around many different leagues are too egomaniacal to say, I screwed this up.
Right.
We thought he was going to be great. It didn't work out. We're going to try and, you know, rebuild him. We're going to go with someone else. I made a huge mistake. And like you were said, Eric, it's kind of refreshing to hear some of the NHL guys say, no, both these guys are completely underperforming. We're going to swap and see if it works out for one of us, you know, kind of situation, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
So we did. Okay. So we lost one and won one since then. We got beat by the Ducks, and then we beat a good team, right?
Columbus.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, it was ironic because
a little early to say if we won the trade or not. But
we just traded for the Ducks guy, and then we got shellacked by them.
Yeah, and they're like the worst team.
They're pretty good.
No, they have lost 12 in a row before they beat us.
Well,
yeah.
But they were our records are very similar.
Yeah, they've been up and down all year. They were like ice cold, hot. Ice cold, hot.
That's how all hockey is, dude. I like stopped paying attention for 2 weeks, and I look back, and everyone like started to talk about how great the Wild are. I'm like, yeah. What? Oh, what are you talking about? They've won 8 of 9. I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, I missed all those.
The NHL is like, it's the weirdest league ever. Yeah. And like, honestly, the players are so politically incorrect, and like, it's such a low budget thing that you don't realize.
The whole thing is surprisingly low budget.
Yeah, you're like, the reason that the Rangers only play a couple teams for most of the year is because they can still take bus rides to all the places. Yeah. And you're like, what? They're a New York professional sports team. Yeah. Why are they taking bus rides anywhere? You know, it is a crazy sport, and it is way lower budget than you imagine it is. And the interviews with hockey players are some of my favorite parts of sports because all of them have the same interview.
Here, go ahead. Interview me. I'll be pretend forward A from Team Z.
I'll be like, hey, Team Z had a great second period there. What was the strategy you guys were using?
You know, we had to get pucks deep. You know, we really did a good job on the forecheck, I think, in the last part of the period. Our D-men held up well, and we killed those two penalties early, so it really gave us some momentum going into the third period.
I love it. That's perfect. Yeah,
it's usually parried, but yeah.
They literally say nothing.
That's literally the interview.
Yeah, that was every time. Yeah, we got to get pucks in deep. And
Got to get them deep.
Got to get some pucks on net, and you know, just keep grinding out there.
First to the puck. Yep, they love saying first to the puck.
Yeah, you just got to get out there.
We just got to keep putting it on net.
Yeah,
like, I forgot that
they'll
one.
They'll go
but
in.
But I think I got most of them there.
Oh, you nailed it.
Got to put pucks on net. You know,
that was beautiful. We should do that.
Out there.
That needs to be a segment. And we'll hit you up for basketball. I mean, we'll hit you up for all of them.
Okay.
You got it?
Cool. I got it. I'm in.
Yeah, it's just we got to keep grinding out there and keep getting pucks on net and winning those battles. And
Meanwhile, they are sweaty and the reddest in the face I've ever seen anybody. All of them.
It's literally every interview is the same. They've never said anything of importance or anything entertaining.
Yep.
Nothing. And they don't ever call out specific players like, well, that motherfucker 72 hit me in the face when I was going for that puck in the corner.
Yeah, right.
No, they're just like,
they're playing tough.
Yeah. It's a tough team, you know. They're really good on the road.
We just got to keep getting pucks in the corner and just keep grinding out there and just get pucks on net, you know. What was your guys' strategy in that? Well, we just keep grinding out there and playing hard.
It's because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. There's no strategy with hockey. It's like go out there and just fucking try to put it in the net, all right? Yeah. All
right, guys, it's time to move on to the Premier League. And this is kind of our last stop of this week. The Premier League has been nothing but exciting. James's team, Liverpool, played a terrible game and still somehow came out with a 4-2.
Well, they played a horrible team.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, fine. Middle of the road team. ever since they got beat by Man City, they look a little different. They've won both games since then against bad teams. But, like, they're not, like, pouring it in and taking it easy. They're, like, playing really hard and kind of sloppy and, like, barely winning these games. So
you had to come from behind.
Yeah, Palace. I know. Yeah. I know. I'm a little worried about them holding They're up by four.
Are you still worried that your best player is the biggest flopper on earth suddenly?
Mo?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine. You can flop all you want. He's literally,
he goes down. Yeah,
the flop was bad. It was,
yeah.
The
guy goes down.
That was Manu Ginobili bad.
If there's a brisk wind, he's down right now.
He's down, he's rolling, and then he
was
popped back up.
And then he was incensed and, like, tried to go after the defender, which makes it even dumber.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
He's like, a very emotional player, for sure. And I can tell that he's more frustrated this year than last, because last year was magically easy for him. Everything he did was perfect.
The ball touched
every
his foot, it was going
ball
in the net.
Went in.
Yeah. Yep.
And now he's sailing it, he's missing it, his first touch will send it too far ahead of him or something. And, you know, normal human things that happen, even with some of the best players.
Right.
And he's still putting in, I think he maybe has the second most goals.
He's incredible.
In the
league,
he's tied.
He's a star.
I mean, he's great and fine. It's just things are not coming as easy. But the team is finding more success than last year, so we're fine.
City with another win. I think they won 3-0 on Sunday.
They did what a really good team should do to a bad team.
Tottenham Hotspur are in kind of a tough spot here. They don't really have any money because they are currently finishing up building their new stadium.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a lean couple years there for them.
Harry Kane is out for weeks, probably until early March, with an ankle injury. Ligament damage to his ankle, so their star player is out for months.
And not only that, they're going to be looking at, like, the long-term health of him, not just like, can he help us stay top four, but, like, are we going to ruin his career if he comes back too soon?
Yeah.
So there's definitely some they need to sidestep that a little bit.
Son, their big wing, is going to be playing in the Asian Cup with South Korea. Mm-hmm. So he's one of their best players, and
he's
out
great.
For the foreseeable future. And then just today, I actually watched the entire game because they were getting shelled in the first half against 19th place Fulham. And Fulham scored a goal to go up 2-0, but it was offsides. And they had chance after chance after chance to put themselves up 2-0. Spurs tied it up early in the second half, and then with about 10 seconds left in stoppage time, they got a header to win it.
Really?
2-0. But
pretty exciting.
Late in the second half, Dele Alli, the other big star player for her Spurs, I believe pulled a muscle and looks like he could be out
so
for a few
Kane,
weeks.
Son, and Dele Alli could all be out?
Will all be out. I mean, it's not...
That's great news for your guys' teams. I don't know if they're really Liverpool-level competition right now, but for you guys, that's
not.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, they're like solidly in third, and hopefully they could drop down to that fourth, fifth spot. That'd be awesome. And then... My team, the Arsenal, who has had a really bad week. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. They're like pretty much decaying from brutal management at this point. Mm. They have an owner who everyone in the world hates, Stan Kroenke.
Horrible person.
He's also the owner of the Rams, who are going to the Super Bowl, so he must be good at something.
So he literally couldn't care less about the Arsenal
Gunners. He cares about American football.
You also have...
The real football.
Yeah.
The one reason for hope with the team was Sven Mislintat, who was brought in to bring in recruits. He was the guy who was...
The Dortmund guy?
Was from Borussia Dortmund. Yep. He's been there for 1 year. He brought in some cool players in the first year that we're all excited about, and he's leaving after just 1 year. So that's pretty tough.
Because the team is so well run
yeah.
that he couldn't keep up? Is that what you're implying?
Okay. And then finally... you know, they have problems with the coach and with Mesut Ozil and all kinds of guys they want to get out of there. So they were pretty much ripe for the picking. They were ready to be put to death for the season, and their top four challenge could have been done. They played Chelsea, who is in fourth place, and Chelsea just literally didn't show up to play the game.
I'm sorry.
Well, the players were on the pitch, technically.
Yeah, they were out there. What happened today? Barter.
It was yesterday, and I've seen this match before. I've seen this match with this core group of players, and I'm going to specifically call out Eden Hazard, Willian, Pedro, Azpilicueta, David Luiz, and probably Marcos Alonso, I guess. And they just decide, for whatever fucking reason, we're not going to try that hard. And it's really frustrating because we've seen three managers get fired because everyone was blaming them. And I don't want to see that happen again to another manager because they decide that they just are not going
to
try that hard.
That has to be some kind of cancer then that's like, yes. And who is it?
It's Hazard.
It's Hazard.
100%.
But why would he have any kind of effect on the team if he's leaving? Like, how can he dictate the mood when he's like
checked out? Because he might be the best player in the whole Premier League and he wants to leave?
If
I can see that being damaging, but
if Tom Brady decides to take a day off, do you think the Patriots offense suffers?
Yeah, I mean, right.
Right.
Of course.
If Drew Brees or Kirk Cousins sucks for the day, does the rest of the team suck? I mean, he's at that level especially for Chelsea, and you know, Eric alludes to the Premier League. I think he's top five. I don't know if he's the best player, but if he doesn't go, if he's unhappy, then the rest of the team doesn't. And not only maybe his play affects the outcome, everyone else sort of follows maybe his body language too and is like, well, he's not trying. Why do I have to try really hard?
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating because I've seen this happen with this core group, and it's very unbecoming of like the Chelsea moniker, which is always like we're underrated. I know we've bought a lot of players, right? But it's always sort of been this like scrappy team that doesn't have like the best talent, but we try really hard and we win matches that we shouldn't. And then we have an opportunity, like Eric said, where Arsenal is like on the ropes, they're floundering.
The fans are ready to riot.
Well, but you've also you've literally played like shit against teams that maybe
we had zero shots on goal last week against West Ham.
And
lost 1-0.
And like literally as far as the league is concerned, the foot was on Arsenal's throat, and Chelsea, all they had to do was like push down, and it was over. Like the season's over. Chelsea's likely to make top four with a little bit of push from Man United, but now the competition's even greater. So it's really frustrating.
And Arsenal's in fifth, 3 points off Chelsea, and Chelsea's got the pressure on them suddenly.
And
yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So anyway.
So good for you, Eric. I mean, must feel good.
It feels good, but it just feels like paper over the cracks.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just a matter of time before our next massive setback. So not overly excited. I'm not expecting us to finish in the top four.
What
do
we got? 15 matches left from league play?
That's exciting. I think that's about what it is. Honestly, the Premier League it's right there with the NFL, in my opinion, as the best league in the world.
I would like to see strengths of schedule left. Like, I've heard that Liverpool has a really cake schedule left.
That's false.
I mean, they all pretty much have to play everyone. They've already played Arsenal twice.
Yeah, but
I think I've sent this to you.
They've already played a lot of the top teams already. Man City, we're done with them. And
you've played them twice?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, you had them and lost to them. I'm going to pull up. Give me just a second, because I did in our notes talk about the schedule that's left for Liverpool. I would not call it a cake schedule. Some of the opponents you have coming up, you have to play United, who's kind of surging.
Yeah, they are.
You have to play at Everton. You have to play Spurs when Kane might be back. Ali might be back. Like, so some of their best players might be back. And then you have to play Chelsea in the midst of that, right? Yeah. So that's all well and good. Those are top flight-ish clubs. Four of your final league matches are against teams that are just above or within the relegation zone.
Oh, so that's a bad thing. They're bad teams, but they're desperate as fuck.
Desperate as hell. Oh, and you're going to be in the midst of like some Champions League play in and out of here, right? So you're like, okay, we just played on Wednesday. We're not going to play everyone.
So what you really want
is to play a bunch of mid-table teams. You want to play like
Crystal
Palace
every single week.
Leicester City, so, Everton, Watford, like all those teams that are safe and they know where they're going to finish and they're not fighting quite as hard. Those lower teams, like their paychecks might be on the line, and 1 point for them might be so critical, even just one, so that they could just be like, fuck it, no one's scoring in this game.
Yeah.
Like, we will cheat, we'll kick the ball out of bounds.
Zero draw. Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the worst game to watch ever, but we are getting a point against Liverpool on the road. And so you get some of those games late in the season where it's just like, you can't believe your team can't beat them, but the other team is just saying, we're not even going
to
play.
We're not trying to win.
We're not trying to win. We're just making sure we don't lose.
Which is the best part about Premier League versus other leagues.
It stays interesting, yes.
Because the teams that are the worst don't have any incentive to tank. They have the opposite.
Yeah.
They have the opposite incentive.
They're probably
playing
harder than the top four guys, trying to get top four. I mean, it's...
Which kind of plays into one of my hot recs for a Netflix show, which is... is it... Eric, help me out
here. It's like Something for Life, right?
Yeah. Southampton Till I Die?
Yeah. No, but Southampton's still in the league. This is
it Southampton?
It's something like that.
Okay. I've watched the City one on Amazon, and that's great.
So this All or Nothing.
Yeah. This is a Netflix one.
It's not Southampton because they're in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's a doc about a borderline relegation club in the Premier League, and you get to see sort of what's like the financial struggle that they go through.
Sunderland.
Yeah. And dude, when I first started following Premier League, they were in it. There's a team I know because they were in it. And since then, wow, they have fallen.
Uh-huh.
And those are the teams that are like on the cusp that you as a top flight club don't want to play late in the season, especially when you have tired legs from Champions League, potentially tired legs from FA Cup or other cups, potentially, you know, injuries because you've had a lot of matches and they
international play could be happening.
They're hungry and they don't want to be relegated because it goes from a $40 million a year payroll to a $100 million a year payroll to be in the top flight. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really interesting. So if anyone...
I see what you mean. So I look at them and like, these are all bad teams, but that's not
right.
a good thing.
From a record perspective, yes, their schedule looks soft, right? But as those, when you start running out of matches and they have to win or have to draw some of these, that's when it gets dicey.
Interesting. Fuck. All right. Cool. That's a good sport.
It's fun, isn't it? It's great. The Premier League is so fun. It's a blast. As soon as you get into the later, like the final 16 of Europa League and Champions League, it's a great time as well. So,
and we'll break that all down post Super Bowl. That's going to be early February. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into Liverpool and Bayern. It'll be a big one for you.
That's a great one.
That's like the matchup of the whole Champions League.
Yeah, and I don't know how, but like I feel like even though Chelsea and PSG are in different competitions, somehow they'll still find a way to play each other.
We will, and we'll lose.
All right, guys, that is definitely all the time we have this week for the Nordies podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Go back and listen to our screencast or, you know, listen to some of our older episodes. We got lots of good stuff. We'll be back with you guys again next week for more talk about True Detective. We'll give you more hot recs. We'll talk about the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl and all kinds of things. Until then, thanks for listening to the Nordies podcast.